All right. I can hardly wait. You've got questions. We've got answers. Phone lines are wide open.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. A special announcement, about 15 minutes, between 15 and 30 minutes after the show is done today. We're going to be back on YouTube for another live YouTube chat. So all of you that don't get to call in or were unable to get to your call, we'll be taking questions on YouTube. That's at Ask Dr. Brown on our YouTube channel. Between 15 minutes and 30 minutes after the show ends, we'll be resuming. All right, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I am going to go right to the phones. But first, one thing. I started seeing these comments popping up on YouTube, one after another after another. James Mason said, Dr. Jones destroyed you in public, and you went and embarrassed yourself further with your hack edit. Foolish move. What? What's that about? And then Patrick Freely. Wrong, Brown. You were speaking to excerpts of a previous debate. You are a poltroon liar. Maybe it's spelled wrong. Maybe he meant poltroon, which is cowardly. And then Surf Dude. 2609, you cut off video and edited out his response. That kind of deliberate deception won't help you. But what? What in the world are they talking about? What hack edit? What deliberate edit? We got the whole interview I did with Dr. Jones as graciously and civilly as I could be in the midst of what I consider to be strongly anti-Semitic comments. As I made plain that day, edited nothing. It is as is, posted 100%. Dr. Jones felt it was fair. And otherwise, I'm happy to have a formal, moderated academic debate. Let's spend a few hours and I'll challenge his charges against, quote, the Jews. Let's do it by all means. I'm wide open to do it. Get a formal neutral moderator, do a live stream, everything unedited. Let's do it. Dr. Jones, why not? I think you're willing. Let's do it. Hope you're willing. So I went back and looked at what are they talking about, deceptive edit. And I saw it's a clip after the synagogue shooting, and I'm talking about concerns I had and what I said to Dr. Jones, urging him not to say the Jews. Catholic scholar E. Michael Jones accused of being anti-Semitic in his views, and I believe he is. All right, so I went back. I played a clip to say what I said. I didn't play his part. That wasn't the point of it. I paraphrased what he said. I urged him to not use the term the Jews the way he was, and to be more nuanced and clear in what he was saying. And I said, basically said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. So this is some deceptive ed. Here's the whole clip. Let's watch. This is exactly how the show ends. Without edit, and this is all on our website. We've got the whole discussion. It wasn't a debate, by the way. Whole discussion on our website. Here, watch, listen for yourself, then we go to your calls. I would just make this last appeal to you. We've got under 2 minutes, and I appreciate you willing to come on, and I'm happy to dialogue off the air, on the air, whatever the setting is. All I'm saying is the broad brush with which you paint and the broad statements you make are such that they encourage Jew hatred. They encourage demonization of Jews. I've seen the way things have played out with comedian Owen Benjamin. And then when I took issue with some things he said, the amount of stuff that came my way about these evil Jews, it was such we had to disable comments for a YouTube video, which we virtually never do. Only twice we've done in 1,600 videos. I'm just seeing the effect of it. So we've got a minute. You get the last word. But that's my appeal to you, to reconsider your use of terms and rhetoric.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your advice, but I cannot not use the term the Jews. I simply cannot do it. And I'm saying once again that to say the term the Jews and then to state some type of characteristic like rebellion against Logos is not promoting hatred. It's a simple description of the fact. And if we can't describe the facts, we have no basis for discussion. Again, I'm saying because we could discuss the issues, that's a step in the right direction. Okay, but we have to be able to say what the issues are. And you, in order to do that, you have to use terms like the Jews. It's not anti-Semitic to say the Jews.
Right. So we agree it's not anti-Semitic to say the Jews. We agree that Jews, like anybody else, can be subject to valid criticism and deserve valid criticism. My issue is when you say the Jews and then put out a blanket statement, which is inherently false or exaggerated, that's where the danger is. But, sir, I appreciate you coming on. Perhaps we can continue the dialogue in other settings. Again, culturewars.com is where you'll find material, the book we've been discussing, The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit. We're out of time. Dr. Jones, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So where's the deceptive editing? I said, because the focus was my warning and my concern that these things lead to violence, and I gave him my, I urged Dr. Jones to change his terminology, and I said, he said, thanks, but no thanks, but I have to keep doing what I'm doing. That's a short paraphrase of what he said. You not believe the flip. I'm profane, ugly, edited. What edit? We were talking about what I said. And then I just said, and here's his response, thanks, but no thanks. I got to keep saying what I've said. You heard the whole thing. There's nothing deceptive. But anyway, this is how you get people into all these weird conspiracy theories. They believe anything. And people getting provoked. They're coming out of the woodwork. I can't quote most of what's being posted because of the vulgarity and ugliness of it. That's what happens. That's why we urge care in our communication. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. We start in Florida with Steve. Welcome to the Line of Fire. What's your question, sir?
Hey, Dr. Brown. I was wondering if you would be able to shed some light on Jeremiah 31, the New Covenant, specifically the verses before and after where it's introduced.
Specifically surely.
Verse 27 and 36.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is with 32 or 31 where it starts, it said he's going to make a covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah. In 27, it says that he will sew them both together. Now, I'm guessing those are the northern and southern tribes. Does that mean that he can only make this covenant when those tribes are in existence and back together again? My question about...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
My question about 36 is, and I know some counter-missionaries will make the argument that it says, the ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation. Does that mean that the covenant will be forever, just like the first one, that it can't be replaced?
Yeah, and I've just got to jump in. Somehow we got a really bad connection there, and it was very, very hard to hear. But I've got your question. Number one, there are representatives of the 12 tribes among the Jewish people. James Jacob writes to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Paul in Acts references the 12 tribes serving God. So there are remnants of all the 12 tribes represented among the Jewish people today. And it is with them that God made his initial covenant. That's the first thing, the new covenant, the new and better covenant. The second thing is his promises, verses 35 to 37, that the people of Israel will not cease to be a people no matter what they do. Unless you can measure, you know, the depths of the earth and the universe and figure all that out, and there's no more sun and stars, as long as that exists, the Jewish people will continue to exist. So it's as if he's saying after the new covenant, don't think I'm replacing the people. No, he's expanding this now through the Messiah, that this is now open to Gentiles as well, that the blessing of Israel is open to the Gentiles as well. And there will be a fullness of this when the whole nation comes into it, all right? But for sure, it has been established with a remnant of all the 12 tribes, number one. Number two, it is an absolutely certain promise, as surely as God is God, that he will preserve his people, a physical, identifiable people of Israel, until the end, no matter what, even though we have sinned. That's because of the faithfulness of God. It is a guaranteed promise based on him, not based on us, based on him. Hey, Stephen, thank you for the good questions. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to John in Salt Lake City, Utah. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you for taking my my question is this gospel preached in the millennial reign of 1,000 years?
Right. So if we believe, John, in a literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the earth, which I do, a millennial kingdom, I do not believe we're looking at salvation in the same way we're looking at it now. We're looking at the Lord ruling over the nations with a rod of iron. Now, you could say, well, there's still only one way of salvation, And won't people be looking back to the cross? Otherwise, if you are born in the millennial kingdom and then you die or you live to the end of it, you don't rebel, is it a covenant of works? Well, no, I wouldn't see that. So it's ambiguous in terms of Scripture nowhere tells us. In other words, it nowhere says that a certain message will be preached to the millennial kingdom, but rather that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. Yet we know from both Old Testament and New Testament texts that people will sin and people will be judged, and that the Lord will rule with a rod of iron, so he will enforce his rule. So could it look more like Old Testament times, where the Israelites were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah through the sacrificial system and Israel's priesthood, and now in the millennial kingdom through Israel's priesthood and through the sacrificial system in the temple, they're looking back to the Messiah and still justification is by faith? You could argue there's always been one means of salvation only, but will there be like, you know, gospel crusades in the millennium and people like Billy Graham preaching? I don't see that in Scripture. Is it possible? It could be, but it's a great question, John. I just don't see anywhere where Scripture explicitly speaks to that in the Old or the New Testament. But thank you for the question. If I get more insight, I'll certainly let you know. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to Zach in California. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was just calling with a concern that I have regarding Zionism. And I'm a relatively new believer in Christ. And up until late last year, I've been a Zionist. But until it slowly crept into the American consciousness that we're at war in Syria, I just started to question that. And I was just hoping if you could clarify some things to me regarding Zionism. And I was asking for Scripture references in chat as to where, as New Testament believers in Christ, we're compelled to be faithful to Zionism and Israel's nationalism.
Yeah, well, we're not called to back everything Israel does, but we absolutely should recognize that God keeps his promises. Zach, the show this coming Wednesday, all right? So this coming Wednesday, everyone listening live, it's Friday, right? This coming Wednesday, the whole show is going to be on this. We're going to ask if Charles Spurgeon was a Christian Zionist, and we're going to look at Old Testament and New Testament the entire show Wednesday. But I'll give you a couple of principles right here when we come back. Stay tuned.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to our Friday broadcast. You've got questions, we've got answers. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going right back to Zach in California. Just a reminder, friends, if you're watching on the live YouTube chat, there's a dollar sign at the beginning, the bottom of the screen there. You can just click on that in the chat portion and make a donation that goes to us to help us with these broadcasts. And if we're getting hit from every angle, it's glorious. It is glorious to see the level of attack from every different imaginable angle, which encourages us that we're making a difference. And the testimonies that come pouring in, lives impacted. Thank you for your kind and gracious words. And if you say, well, I want to encourage you, Dr. Brown, I'm encouraged in the Lord all the time because of his goodness. And the more attack that comes, the more encouraged we get. But we do need your help to do what we're doing. So if you believe in our voice, if we're standing for you in a way that glorifies the Lord, if you appreciate us being able to deal with controversy with compassion at the same time, then stand with us. You can put aside like 30-something cents a day. Just picture that. Put aside a quarter, a few extra cents next day. All right? You can become a Patreon partner. We got our first 40. We'd love to get about 1,000 to do what we're doing. But if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you see the link there. It's Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/AskDrBrown. That's A-S-K-D-R Brown. So $10 or more per month as a Patreon partner, you'll get two bonus videos every single week. So a bonus program, just recorded the latest one on how to discover your calling in God. And then YouTube chats that we post, and then they're archived after that. You get to watch those as well. So there's a whole bunch of bonus shows already waiting for you. But best of all, you help us produce more material to reach more people. So we've got our first 40 in. I want you to become the next. Get us to 50 or even 100 today. So stand with us. Join us. Thank you in advance. So, Zach, scriptures I would point you to in the New Testament, Luke 21:24. And I'm going to go all over all this on Wednesday. Luke 21:24, that the Jewish people will be scattered to the nations and Jerusalem will be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. So there will be judgment. There will be scattering until, that until implying regathering. In Acts 3:21, Peter says that Jesus must remain in heaven until the time spoken of the restoration of all things predicted by the prophets. Go back and read what the prophet said. The number one prophecy over and again is that God would bring his people back to the land, and there in the land, they would encounter him. And then Romans 15, verses 7 and 8, Paul says that the Messiah comes to confirm, he comes for the circumcised to confirm the promises to the patriarchs. And what was the promise to the patriarchs? That God would bless them with the land and it would be their lasting inheritance. So verse after verse after verse tells us God brought the Jewish people back. The end of the Bible, Zechariah 12:14, or the end of the age, Zechariah 12:14, tells us that God will gather all nations to Jerusalem, to attack Jerusalem at the end of the age. It will be a Jewish Jerusalem that gets attacked, meaning the Jewish people will be there, and he'll bring them there to judge them. So many, many verses throughout the whole Bible speak of God's promises to Israel, and it's surely his God. He'll keep those promises, and I, for a split second, don't want to deny the faithfulness of God. The fact that your human beings are involved, look, God keeps his promises to the church, but the church sins and messes up all the time, and still God keeps his promises to the church. Same with Israel. So, Zach, listen to the Wednesday show. I think it'll really help you, okay?
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you very much. And you just wanted to say something real quick,
Go ahead, if you don't mind. Please.
I just wanted to thank you for your debates with James White. I feel like they've helped me grow as a Christian, so I just wanted to express that. Thank you very much.
Oh, you are very welcome, Zach. And again, you can be a Christian and not be a Zionist. You can be a Christian and be a Zionist. But let's see what the word says and do our best to be faithful to it. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. And thank you for your YouTube contributions and for the kind words. I'm looking at the chat as we're doing the show here. We go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Stan, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown. I frequently attend, once in a while I go down to the MJA, listen to some music in the evenings, and I've come across your name on the internet too. And one of the things, I've listened to your show a few times on YouTube here and there, and I was just curious. There was an issue that you've mentioned, or that you believe that you had a belief in, was the doctrine of sola scriptura, with the Bible alone.
Yeah,
I believe that's. But there are many scriptures, like, for example, in Acts chapter 15, where they had a decision at the Council of Jerusalem, and the church had a result of a dispute between the Judaizers and those that said that Gentiles only had to be baptized. And while they made reference to the Old Testament scriptures, like for example, Amos 9 and a few others, there was at the conclusion, Peter stands up and he says, "Why should we hold Gentiles to something that we ourselves cannot bear?" And then James says that we are, you know, why?
Right. So what's the question? I don't understand how that undermines sola scriptura. The apostles and the leaders were led by the Holy Spirit to make a decision. And we have that because it's in the Bible. But it doesn't mean that outside of the Bible, you can